Blog Talk Radio.
And I got the HD blues, and my life feels kind of rough. Baby, I won't ever, ever give up. You might see me moving.
Hello, everyone, and thank you for tuning in to Help for HD Live. Help for HD Live is brought to you by Help for HD International and is made possible by an education grant from Teva Pharmaceuticals and the Griffin Foundation. I'm your host, Katie Jackson, and today our guest is Angie Rowe, COO of Global Genes. We are excited to have her on the show today to talk all about Global Genes and all they are doing to help people around the world that are affected by rare diseases. Angie has many years of experience working in the nonprofit space, so we are excited to hear from her and about her background and all that's going on at Global Genes. So thank you for coming on the show with us today, Angie.
Thank you for having me.
Yes, let's just jump right in and start talking a little bit. Tell us a little bit about your background and how you got involved working with rare disease communities.
Sure. I started with Global Genes about 3.5 years ago after a stint with the OC Marathon and doing Kids Run the OC programming and working on the foundation side of the OC Marathon. About in 2013, I was diagnosed with breast cancer and went through the, I was 43 years old and had two middle school age kids at the time and, you know, went through treatment and recovery. And I'm happy to say I'm 5 years cancer free, which is great. But in going through that process, I started to really evaluate like what I wanted to do with my career and what I wanted to do with the rest of my kind of life. And I didn't want to work in the breast cancer space, but I wanted to work in a space that was innovative and working with patients that had a lot of needs, and it kind of led me to the rare disease space, and the position for the COO happened to be open at about the time I started looking, and everything just kind of fell into place, and I'm just very excited that I could kind of transition my work with other nonprofits and other foundations to Global Genes to help Nicole build this organization and really expand our reach and what we do for the rare disease community.
Yeah, and isn't that the truth? The rare disease communities, they have so many needs and such a lack of resources and information out there. So it's amazing to have organizations out there that focus on bridging some of those gaps in need. Tell us a little bit about Global Genes' mission and some background and history of Global Genes.
Sure. Our mission at Global Genes is to connect, empower, and inspire the rare disease community. And we envision a globally connected community equipped to eliminate the challenges of rare disease. And what that all kind of means and how we kind of got our start was Nicole Boyce in 2008 founded the organization. She had a friend who had a child that was born with multiple fingers and multiple toes, and it was a childhood friend that she had grown up with and was very close to all throughout her life. And when her son was born, you know, he obviously had some issues and they left the hospital really without a diagnosis and without knowing what was wrong, even though there were several visible physical things that were wrong with him. There were also other things that were wrong with him that, you know, were internal as well and couldn't be seen. But no one could really figure out what was wrong with him. And he spent 4 years without a diagnosis. And I think during that time, Nicole saw her friend become more and more isolated and stepping back from being around people. And she started to work in an early intervention center with her son and with a lot of other families with kids that had different issues and were undiagnosed. And through that time, she really saw her friend, even prior to diagnosis at four, go through kind of an evolution and really start to connect with some of these other families. And turns out that he was born without part of his, he had Joubert's disease and was born without part of his cerebellum. And, you know, she was like, she started questioning, like, how in the world could a child be born without a cerebellum, have all these issues, and it take 4 years to find a diagnosis? And how do all these people that are leaving the hospital in this day and age without diagnoses and all the advances in biotech and pharmacy, how is it that we don't have, aren't able to give diagnoses? And how awful is it that these parents, and especially when she saw her friend, are so, become so isolated and don't have other people to talk to or engage with? And so she really went out and, based on her experience, sold, had the passion and sold the idea of, how do we bring these families together regardless of what their diagnosis is or if they're undiagnosed, and how do we connect them with these small patient communities, and how do we build their patient communities and or help them get a diagnosis or connect them with researchers or get biotech and pharma and investment firms to invest in drug development. Like, how do we do that and how do we do it better? So she kind of went with that idea about that connection and the importance of connection and resources and tools, and developed Global Genes. And here we are today, doing more and more of that over the 10 years that we've been in existence. So that's a little bit about our history and why it kind of came to be and why we do focus on the connection piece.
Yeah. So tell us some more about your resources that you guys offer to rare disease communities.
Sure. I mean, it's a wide variety. I think one of the things that Global Genes really tries to do is that we really have going to look at the journey that a rare disease patient can be on, whether it is from they're undiagnosed to, we have people that come into us that are undiagnosed all the way through people who are very savvy fundraisers and have a lot of money and want to invest in, you know, find a drug or a cure. And when they come to us on that journey, wherever they are, in whether they're a child or they themselves are living with a life-limiting or chronic condition, we try to provide them with all the tools and resources they may need, whether they are, wherever they are on their journey. Now, we have some of our own, and we don't purport to be experts in all the different areas, but we have resources that we develop, like quarterly webinars, toolkits on a variety of topics, anywhere from how to start a nonprofit foundation and fundraise, to how to talk to your kids' teachers in schools, to what it means to have a genetic test done, and how to and then if you are undiagnosed, what do you do? I mean, the gamut of resources we have on the toolkit side kind of spans the whole continuum. We also have our Rare Concierge program, which I think is just an amazing program personally. We connect patients with genetic counselors, and whatever their needs are, if they have needs to and they want resources or to be connected with the university, or they have test results that they want someone to take a look at, or they need more information about something, we provide that genetic counseling service to them, and that they can talk to them and get more information and get what they need from that program. It also doesn't have to be about about a diagnosis. It can be for family support or other kinds of resources. We will try and help any patient or any family member that calls in find what they need through that program. We also then work with a lot of other nonprofits and are big on collaboration. And if someone comes to us and doesn't have we don't have the particular expertise or the resources that they need, we will help them connect with the organization or the resources or the people that they need to address whatever it is that they're dealing with. We do have also a foundation alliance, and what that is all of our kind of nonprofit partners or nonprofit groups that deal with rare disease join our foundation alliance, and through that alliance, they are communicated with and shared resources and access to our programs and scholarships to attend our events. and a variety of other resources that they can acquire through that Foundation Alliance program. So any patient support group, some of the HD community nonprofits are involved with that Foundation Alliance. They can join the Alliance at no cost and, you know, get information and resources to help their organizations move forward as well. We do have a corporate alliance, and that is for our corporate partners that are our funders. They join that, and they do specific programming items on areas of interest. It's kind of volunteers from the corporate sector that sit on that committee, and they look into topics that maybe aren't heavily researched or there isn't a lot of information on to provide those resources to the community. Currently, they're working on a partnership and have been in partnership with the Child Neurology Foundation because there is such a strong connection between neurological diseases in children and rare disease, and they're coming up with some outputs and research from the information that they're gathering through that working group.
Yeah, I know that Global Genes reached out to me, I think it was last year, and I thought it was really cool that that they contacted us because they wanted to do a piece on juvenile Huntington's. And, you know, it's rarely talked about, right? The JHD is rarely talked about. You know, obviously HD is talked about. The population is high. You know, the JHD population is very rare, right? It's ultra rare. And only 10% of our population, but that doesn't mean that population should not have a voice or that they should, they have the greatest needs of all. They have no resources, no support, and absolutely there's one research bench in the United States working on them. So this is like a great need. And so I thought it was pretty cool that Global Genes contacted us and actually ran a piece on JHD and the documentary we were making about JHD at the time. So that was exciting. And it was very well written. It was a really good piece.
And that's one of the things we find just across the entire rare disease space and community. It's so many, you know, that the statistic is there's over 7,000 rare diseases and 5% have a treatment and 0 have cures. I mean, that's a few hundred of the 7,000 that even have a treatment and none have cures. And so the needs are so great across the entire community because there aren't a lot of therapies or resources for these patients. And it's just, you know, the research has been showing over and over that when people make the connection to other people in the community, it does help them on their journey. I mean, even if it's, you know, just that mental help in having that connection and someone to share have the shared life experience with often goes a long time to their quality of life and them feeling better just about themselves or what they're going through as a parent caring for a child or a parent or an adult caring for an adult, you know, depending on where they are. So it's really amazing to see those connections come to life and see all those partnerships and get the information out so that more and more people are aware about all the great work and all the immense needs in the community.
Yeah. Well, you guys have your annual event, I believe, in October. Is that right? The summit?
Yes. Yes.
Can you tell us a little bit more about that annual event?
Sure. Sure. It's October 3rd and 4th in Irvine, California. It's a two-day patient advocacy summit where we bring patients from all over the globe to come together to convene for 2 days and what we think is the best rare disease educational conference in the country. Our CEO, Nicole, and founder, she does an amazing job every year with our team in coming up with topics and subject matter that are very relevant and very pertinent and very educational for our rare disease community. We also provide time during that two-day event for people to network and connect. And we really hope that through that time that people are there, they're getting educated and that they are meeting new people and making those connections to go out and do even more for the rare disease community. This year's conference has quite a few exciting things going on with it. We are offering a peer support group program with the Child Neurology Foundation. It's a boot camp that we're doing prior to the event starting for people that are engaged in peer support already. We're also offering an entrepreneurial readiness boot camp, which is designed for patient advocates who have started funding rare disease research and are looking to better coordinate and build structure around their efforts. So we'll have a one-day track designed specifically for people that are at that place in their journey. We're also hosting, which is very exciting, leaders from all over the globe, and a global advocacy leadership symposium this year in conjunction with the summit. And we are having them come together to start building disease communities in all regions around the globe. So there's some really exciting programming that's going on with the summit in addition to the regular tracks that we're having. And we hope that anyone that's on the call or that's interested in joining us will reach out to our patient engagement team, and we can help get them any information they need about coming to the event. It's really like the must-attend event, I think, in the rare disease space each year.
Yeah, and you said it's in Irvine?
Yes, it's in Irvine, California.
Mm-hmm. Irvine, California. Okay, and we actually have, I think they're based out of Irvine or Orange County. We have organization that's kind of branched onto a university. They're not really a nonprofit like Help for HD, but they have HD Care. They are
HD Care. Yes. HD Care. Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Yes.
Linked on there.
Yes. They are awesome, and I've worked with them. I actually worked with them prior to even coming to Global Genes, because they were involved fundraising for Huntington's disease. I knew all about it because they were involved with fundraising for it through the OC Marathon at my prior job. So
time. Francis Saldana always has a thing there. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. So for me personally, I've had a long time connection to HD just even through them before I ever got working in the space specifically.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's great. Yeah. I didn't mean to interrupt you. Go ahead. Sorry.
No. I was going to say my first week on the job, I came to Global Genes and they were screening Mariana Palka's movie up at UCLA.
When the Lion's Mouth Opens. Yeah.
Yes, When the Lion's Mouth Opened. That was my very first week on the job. There was a screening for that. And the person that was supposed to moderate the panel for that screening was unable to come, and they asked me to come up and do it about 3 hours ahead of time. And I had the amazing opportunity to go to UCLA and meet a lot of the researchers and the doctors from the HD community when they did that screening and moderate the panel. And it was just a fantastic experience because there were a lot of HD patients in the audience, and it was my very first week on the job here. And it just really solidified my commitment to make a change and move, in this direction and working with rare disease. So it was very cool.
Yeah, that is very cool. Yeah. There's really good advocacy and support down there with HD for sure. I'm in Northern California, but yeah, when I go down there, we actually, Daniel Medina, who works with Francis, also works with us. So we're all connected, and we worked with HD Care a lot. We haven't done any projects lately with them, but we've done a lot of projects with them in the past. So yeah, we definitely are a small community that has to work together to make things happen for sure. But that's great. Let's talk a little bit about how the Huntington's disease community can get involved with Global Genes and bring more awareness to HD and the rare disease.
Sure. I mean, there's lots of different things that we do. We offer lots of campaigns throughout the year. One of the bigger things that we always have ongoing and always have available is our blue denim jeans ribbon. The ribbons can be provided for any event that any organization is doing throughout the year, or at meetings, or if you're out at conferences or anything, we can provide those ribbons to people. And it's really what we hope is kind of the unifying symbol of all the rare disease communities, because obviously 80% of the rare diseases are genetic and affects your genes, and so that's the whole tie-in with the genes and the denim. And those are always available to any organization that wants to use them to promote. We include them with some rare stats and facts on the little card that comes with all of them, and we'll assemble them and ship as many as people want at no cost for any event that they want to do. So that's a great way to always be spreading the word and have that available. We also, you know, do a wide variety of events throughout the month of February. This past year, we had a big event in Northern California called the Rare Carousel, and we partnered with, I think, 32 organizations to help them fundraise for their disease through a Rare Carousel event where you had riders on a carousel and you could have fundraisers. And we provided the platform and the information and all of the social media language and things that we to the partner organizations so that they could develop teams and fundraise, but we promoted the whole thing under the rare disease umbrella as the largest rare carousel. We do a lot of different things throughout the year, and we're always happy also to work with anyone through our patient engagement team or any organization that wants to do any type of collaboration to promote rare diseases, and through social media or any kind of campaign. We're always open to new ideas and working with our partner organizations on whatever it is that they kind of need to help get the message out.
Yeah, I actually think that at our event, and right when you said that, I went, oh, that we did. We had the blue denim ribbon, Help for HD did, at one of an event that we hosted in the Central Coast of California. I remember we had them out. And we also had them for our JHD walk in Sacramento. So I know that people that came brought them. So that was really cool. We had them out on a table. So I actually know exactly what you're talking about, because I actually have one. So.
Yes.
Very cool.
That's awesome. And they're always available. So
yeah.
You can always get them for anything. So.
Right. Yes. Cool. Well, I will definitely do that because they're fun little things. And then I remember the little card it came on and stuff. So that is very cool. Yeah. So
go ahead. No,
go ahead.
Go ahead. Oh, I was going to say
oh,
one
no,
thing
I was
going to
ask
thought
you
of
for your contact.
Oh, my contact?
The contact information for your company. Yeah, I'm sorry. I have a delay on my phone for some reason. I think it's studio delay. Definitely. We definitely want to get all your contact information as well, as far as the website and stuff. So, but go ahead. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
I was going to say, no, the one other thing we just launched, I don't know if you all are familiar with One Hope Wine, that they do the cause-related wines. And they just released a wine for rare disease, so in May. So we were very excited to be able to partner with One Hope Wine. So that's another way if people are hosting events and the funds raised from that wine, and it has a little statement on the back of the wine that says specifically that the bottle helps fund resources to eliminate the challenges of rare disease, and the money, the proceeds from that sale of that wine are going to to our rare concierge program here at Global Genes that I talked about earlier, and where people can get in touch with a genetic counselor. So it's kind of cool if you guys or anybody else you know is having an event or needs wine for an event, the One Hope will provide the wine, and, you know, you would have to purchase it, but it's cool because the proceeds are supporting the rare disease community. So it's the first time that rare disease has had something like that. So it's really cool for the whole community, for us to have such a big brand that has aligned with our cause and found it worthy enough to release a wine that's specifically dedicated to rare disease.
Yeah, very cool. Well, that's One Hope Wine. So, and if we can get your contact information for people, your website, and everything, so if people want to look up Global Genes and get involved.
Sure. It's our website is www.globalgenes.org. And our phone number is 949 248-7273, which happens to be rare. So 949-248-RARE.
Oh, very cool. Okay. Awesome. Thank you so much for coming on the show with us today. I know you have a very busy
schedule. Oh, thank you so much
for
having me.
On, so.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
We
it
are
was
thankful
great.
For you
thank
to come
you so
on.
Much.
Yes, and thank you for all that you are doing for the rare disease communities over there at Global Genes. Next week, you guys, I think we're going to wrap up the show. Next week, join us. Cole is coming on from Hopes to talk to us about their new podcast they're doing. That's the Huntington's Outreach Project for Education at Stanford. So it's a group, a club that was I think it's about 10 years old now, and it's really cool that brilliant students have started and continue to have people join this club that focuses on Huntington's disease and them learning more about the disease. And they have a really great website, and we are going to talk about their new podcast coming up. That will be next week on Wednesday, 1 o'clock Pacific Standard Time, same time, same place. Until then, everyone have a safe week, and we will talk to you soon. Thank you.